On a recent rainy evening, more than 125 people packed Rowayton's quaint little community center. It was the monthly meeting of the 6th Taxing District. Resident Tom Livingston joked that it was the social event of the season.
I've never seen so many people at a commissioner's meeting. I've been here 27 years. There are a lot of people here.
They came for the first item on the agenda, 2 Nearwater Road. Situated on a tidal estuary called Farm Creek, the property is about half an acre. It's known for its 330-foot causeway that is a vestige of an old trolley line. Resident Tori Woodruff said the property is vital to protecting Long Island Sound and wants to see it preserved.
A tidal estuary, which is a really important ecosystem, has a lot of different wildlife. It's somewhere that everybody in this town can go and have open space and teach their children about nature.
In February, owner and local architect Bruce Beinfield agreed to sell the property to the Norwalk Land Trust for $1 million, about $300,000 more than what he paid for it last year. The Land Trust envisions a native plant haven for egrets and other birds marginalized by coastal development over the years. But one condition of the contract is that the land be open to the public. But the property is in a private housing association called Pine Point. Members pay dues for private roads and other amenities. Pine Point resident Spencer Hempelman spoke out against the Land Trust's plan.
As a parent of 3 children under the age of 5, and knowing that there are 18 other kids under the age of 5 that live within a few hundred feet of the preserve, parents is for concern that would open up traffic flow through the community.
He'd support it if it was left as restricted open space. But opponents also have concerns over deed restrictions. The association would have to make an exception for a use other than a single-family residence. Some fear that's a slippery slope and have threatened to sue with deep pockets. Pine Point members took it to a vote at the request of the Land Trust, but it was 2-1 against. Kevin Harold cast a minority vote. He says the results were soured by misinformation.
Including the possibility of man-eating birds and raising taxes. But if anything, you know, I find that counterintuitive that preserving a beautiful location would lead to higher taxes.
The results were problematic for the Land Trust. President Kathy Seaver had said it wouldn't close the deal without Pine Point support. Instead, the trust board decided to postpone a decision and Seaver resigned. The board is now under a media silence. But it's clear the Land Trust is assessing public support. The group has raised only about a third of the purchase price with less than 3 months to go. And if public access is removed from the equation, so too goes a state grant of $500,000. Commissioner Mike Barbas of the 6th Taxing District told Land Trust supporters they need to take it to City Hall.
You need the public votes. And if you really think the city is part of the answer to this, we're going to have to get organized and flood the mayor again with 300-plus emails.
Public outcry was what forced 62-year-old Beinfield to sell in the first place. He originally wanted to build a 2,800-square-foot house on the causeway that's in a floodplain, basically a raised 2.5-story house on a peninsula in the middle of the creek. Beinfield wouldn't talk on tape or say how close he'd build to the water's edge, but he did say his application satisfied all the local regulations, and it did.
It's a zone with environmental sensitivities is relatively new.
Joe McDougald is the executive director of the Center of Energy and Environmental Law at the University of Connecticut. He says zoning regulations in the state only started talking about environmental law in the 1980s. That's not a lot of time. And he says local regulations are constantly playing catch-up.
We've been able to get developments where they never could go before. Septic system technology has gotten better. The financial incentives, the storm preservation incentives, mean that you can place things where you really wouldn't have before.
Connecticut's laws may be putting coastal preservation efforts at risk. The state's Coastal Management Act created a program designed to ensure balanced coastal development while protecting the Sound's fragile ecosystem. But the state constitution gives maximum authority to local officials for implementing it. McDougald says this means regulations can vary from town to town, each doing their own coastal site reviews.
In these small towns with limited resources, and they have a lot of things to do, and you can see where that can be very hard to take something as complex as good environmental practice and roll that in with all the other things that go into zoning.
Where local zoning may fail to protect valuable natural resources, public opposition can still be a powerful defense. That was the case for the former Griswold Airport property in Madison, Connecticut. There, activists, voters, and the National Trust for Public Land raised millions of dollars to buy 42 acres of pristine coastal forest and wetlands from developers. And this past January, Governor Malloy announced a new climate institute at the University of Connecticut in Groton. One of its goals is to set best practices for consistency in coastal management, but it still will be up to local officials to use them. Kayomi Getz, WSHU News.